Alrighty, good evening to you. If you have just joined us, my name is The Matriarch and I am your host for this evening and any other evening between 9 o'clock to 12 o'clock because it is what it is. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be doing something that I don't know. So we're going to be doing a fun, a fun Friday evening, and we're just going to be, you know, just doing random things. We're just gonna be so random, like randomly calling strangers and just randomly liking our day and randomly, everything's gonna be random today. It's gonna be random. It's gonna be beautiful. It's gonna be great because it's a Friday. And also we're going to listen to stand-up comedy. Okay. We're going to listen to stand-up comedy today. We are going to listen to people and they are going to make us laugh. And then you are going to tell me, right, how you feel about, like how you feel after you have heard them crack a joke or two, how you deciphered it and all of that. Now the number in studio is 083-288-401. That is the number in studio. And our first caller didn't answer. So we are moving on to the next one. So let's dive into it, man. But it's only 10 minutes. So check. We as Eagle Media House do not claim any ownership at all. Any ownership of what we are playing. We are just strictly playing it for illustration purposes. And we are just going to be, talking and we're just going to be enjoying. Okay. So it's Friday. Let's enjoy. I know that you guys are outside. Mara, not all of you guys are outside. So relax, calm down and we have a bite. All right. Caller, you guys can always call back and you. Alright, you guys can always call back. The number in studio is 083-288-401. That is the number in studio. You guys can call back and we can discuss. We can play along and we can listen to Josh.
Things ain't the same no more. Stuff done changed. It ain't like it was back in the day like it is now.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening, beloved. How are you?
Very fine. How are you?
I'm fine also. I'm also very fine. Why are you very fine?
Because I recently I had a soulmate.
Talk to me, my dear. Talk to me. I need all the juice I can get. Like, who? Because here by my own life.
I was having a headache. I don't know how it attacked me. I don't even know the cause. And when I woke up the following morning, one of my lip date was dislocated. Yeah. So I have a very big sore.
Wait, your lip was dislocated. It's dislocated. Yes, sister, dislocated. Sister Aina, dislocated. And it's not even Sister Aina of church, it's Sister Aina for hospital. Yes, Sister Aina. Dislocated. One of my lips was dislocated, like you have five. Yeah, like. in the beginning. Okay. One of your lips was dislocated.
So it developed
a date she rectifying yes. Yeah.
So one of my lips, it has a sore.
Yeah. A cold sore.
A sore.
Yeah.
Right on a corner. Mm-hmm. So it didn't sit well with me. I felt like I'm just out of shape. Also, I have been putting on a mask for 2 days. And then now, today.
Why? What did you hear in the hospital? You must tell us. You must warn us if these things happen. Why are you wearing masks at the hospital?
No, I think it's just a cost of headache. No, I don't want everyone to see my lip.
Before that. Okay. It was after. Okay, cool. Yeah. I thought you were wearing a mask to work. Mm-hmm.
When I woke up today, It's healing, man.
Is it? Yes. She's healing.
I even felt free. Mm-hmm. I've been when I've been home, no, when I went out today at work, so my lip, ne, in antira kwa noka maska, I felt like, oh, this is just a straw. So at least it's healing. Kuna noka imaka foka koko.
It's healing. But you are in the best position to ask a doctor to see it. Because you are in the vicinity. No, you are in the vicinity, my dear. Okay, so it's healing, and that's what got you up and happy and stuff like that?
Yes, I thought it would never.
Oh, why?
I thought it would maybe heal after a week or so. Because I don't know what happened to me. I really don't know.
When last did you check your immune system?
It's weak.
You know, that's something that has never happened to me either. I've never had it also.
It's rare.
I've also never had a broken anything. Nothing. I've never been in a cast in my life. I was like, wow, must be nice. Wow. Am I jealous of broken things? Wow.
It's always good to paint a picture like that. Mara, if it happens to you, Sherene.
It's painful, man.
Imagine I used to paint pictures, kucha. Now, why are you putting on your mask? It's just a sew. It's not even that big. Now, when it happens to me, I feel like...
Hypocrite. You feel like, I hope the person that I told to not put on a mask is not here to come and tell me. Like, oh, yeah, but you told me. Oh, hold on, I'm not a revenge. Yeah, but me, you told me. It's not the same.
May
I have a reputation?
It's already hot enough, and then you're putting on a mask.
You care about what other people say about you, or what? Didn't you learn anything here in this school?
Not this one.
Body image, no. We didn't learn that one. As we just learn about psychology, how to be kind to yourself and others. Yeah. That's what we are about. We're not about this self-image preservation things. We don't know anything about it. So, how was your week?
My week is fine. No
it
problem.
Was. We are finished. No, we are finished, please. Fine. Don't bring it back. Just, we already finished it.
But even if I have to go back, I'll be still dead.
Yeah.
My week was fine.
Yeah, my week was terrible. Are you?
Yeah, I'm not complaining of anything.
You never complain. These days you don't complain.
At home, all is well.
It's like your life is perfect, Ampera.
No, it's not that it's perfect. It's not that I'm happy at the department that I'm working currently.
Hella, which department?
Theater.
Where?
Theater.
Theater. Ah, I can imagine. It's inspiring you to become a surgeon, ne?
No.
Anuakuja, I can do this, man. Every time you see the surgeon doing something, me, I can do this.
It's not my job. And I feel like all of us, ne, we are just the same because we all look alike. Either you can find me there and then you will not differentiate if I'm a student, if I'm a surgeon.
Save big this festive season at WB. Get 4 kg Kadila mixed chicken for $184.99.
Hey, good. Hello.
Yes.
Hello, Shonena.
Happen automatically.
Ucha ngonga inetarako. Minganda pira mostor. That's how you know, Kucha. I pay attention when you guys are talking, Lily.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you guys just all look the same there. There's no old guy.
Just in uniform. In all the scrubs that you are putting on, they are just the same.
No, you people. Now, when are you people getting your nurse's uniform? You guys must put on nurse's uniform. How?
Hi.
But why is the Ministry of Health doing that? Why do you guys have to buy your own uniform? Yeah? Like, Nare. Nare, you people used to get transport, you used to get food allowance, like food, like lunchtime, and also you guys used to get uniforms.
But things have changed, I think.
I can't hear you. I think you moved a little.
Even now.
Now I can hear you perfectly.
Okay. But if you complain about it, I think Menetumbo can hear Asmos because she's a mom.
Is that the only reason she can hear you? How about she's the president? You people!
Yeah, go is because she's a mother.
But she's also a mother to boys, so. So are you sure she will hear you, Nga?
She will hear us, huh? If you just put Tara, she can wake me get or she can go to potiku if you go in, eh? And then you put, she put a little bit outside of president aside, and then most mothers are just mother, mama.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Even if some of us will be already out of school. Who are now pulling
out.
Mm-hmm. Do
you want okay. If you say like that, sister. If it's like that, you say like that, then I understand, sister. Yeah. No problem, Lily. To be honest, to be honest, not Lily, yeah, but okay. But all right, anything else? What's been happening in your life, my darling? What do you do in your free time?
What do I do? I don't do anything.
Hey, you just sit there and rest.
I just, on my free time, I just rest, I just sleep, I just, on my free time, that's it. I don't do anything that is out of the ordinary.
Mm. You're just chilling there in your house.
Just that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like my life, is just a routine. It's just a cycle.
How are you coping with that routine, or do you like it?
At some point, no. At some point, yes, because at some point I feel like, oh, what if I was getting money? What if I was this month and there's at least something that is going to motivate me? Kucha, here's a $500 for you every month, And then at least Tanga, it will boost me up. Kucha, I will just go out there and start studying again, and just like that. Mara, this thing of month end, it's just a normal month for you and
nothing big is happening.
I don't do anything out of the ordinary currently. Maybe after school, maybe after when I'm done, when I'm off. From the varsity, I will start doing it, but currently time doesn't allow me to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even on the recess, I don't remember. There was only one day that I took, something out of the ordinary, but in normal days, even on the recess, if I'm just home and then I remember that, I have my unfinished logbook. When will I finish this? So let me just go there.
You just dress up and go to work.
I just dress up and go to work.
That's so. Just like that.
Just like that.
Because that's the girl you are. Must be nice. Really. Must be nice. Must be nice, girl. Yeah, must be nice. Oh, no, that's good.
I don't like it also.
No, it's good. It's a good quality to have. What is wrong with you?
Okay.
It's a good quality to have. You people, man, just me small saying,
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, anything on the table?
No, I was just calling to check up on you, to be honest. Check up on you because you guys have been a little quiet.
Because now I work 7 to 7 and I come home, I'm exhausted because I hardly sit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just exhausted. Then there's even a day I wanted to call in. I was like, I'm going to call in at 9. And I look at the time, it was 10. like, let me just go in. I don't know how I slept. And night is short. Believe me, mom.
Night is only short for you people that have other things to do in the day.
Oh, no, it doesn't apply to anyone, to everyone.
Ah, other people are like, yeah, no, my life is... My life is so... my nights are short. Me, my day is short. My night is short. Everything is short. Like...
because sometimes you're posting at 3 and then at 6 you're already up. I'm like...
then you sometimes you go to bed and then just close your eyes and try and force yourself to sleep. But does it work? Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't work.
But all is well, and I'm trying.
You are trying, and all is well.
Yes, I'm not complaining. If I'm going to complain, I'm going to raise my complaint, but not today. Me, I'm fine.
Yeah, you're absolutely fine.
Very fine.
Okay, so in your free time, you just go to work.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And sleep and rest.
Did you go to the village? Did you listen to the book?
I did.
Then why didn't you come back with feedback? Because I just feel like you are lying. I feel like you are lying about going to the village. I feel like you are lying about listening to the book. I feel like all of these are lies that you are telling me tonight. That's why I called you specifically. Because you didn't call me for feedback, so...
But you said that I shouldn't give you feedback because it's like,
No, give me feedback. I change my mind. I change my mind.
Okay, I went to the village, listened to the book, but I saw the clip. Ne? It's, the name of the book is, Alchemist.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's that.
First of all, let's start with your village experience. How was the village?
I want to know.
How was it?
It's fine. I can say it's fine because it's where you come from.
No, but I'm saying how was your experience? Because you went there for something specific, isn't it? To unwind. And to not be overstimulated. So, what happened?
What happened is, my experience was fine, but it is that in the middle of there, I fell asleep. So I couldn't really, even if I'm going to tell you.
No, I'm talking about going to the village. Ko village ya okwari ngini. Did you go for that weekend that I told you you must go? That's what I'm asking. You see? We pamper. So now, right now you're at the village. Because you're done with exams?
I'm done.
Yeah,
I finished because practical started Monday.
Mm-hmm. So now you are at the village?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And you're at the village with whom?
Ngasa.
Just the two of you?
I know. And also Oma.
Oho.
Just the three of
them. Oh, the three of you guys.
Yeah, my brother is done with the exam, but then he doesn't want to come.
Of course, people should not be forced to go to Efudo. There's a difference between Efudo and holiday.
The difference between Efudo and holiday is not the same.
No. Efudo is hard labor there at your house in the village. Holiday is when you go to the beach and you go and eat out and you do all these fun activities.
What about vacation?
My dear, vacation is with holiday.
I am,
It's just like baby and omwashe.
Baby and what?
Baby and okana.
Baby and okana are not the same thing.
My dear, you are looking at it from the literal sense. I'm just saying, kucha, vambus don't know how to holiday.
Okay.
Vambus go home to go and work, and apparently that was holiday. So how can you come from work to go to another work again? When do you rest? You leave this work to go into another work.
So maybe that's the reason why my younger brother doesn't want to come. Because he finished his exam, I think, probably 2 weeks ago.
Exactly. Finished. Like, why? Why must we do that?
Then he said, no, he said that this year he's not doing it. He try again next year, maybe.
We'll try again next year, Chomi. We'll try again next year. Okay. So, how is the village?
Village is... I want, because there's a lot of work here, but village is fine.
No? What work are you guys working?
Oh, ho, ho. Because I'm doing my practicals at Onanjokwe, so I decided to live at the village. It's not far, you only pay double, almost $26. So, you come, you start cooking, I'm already exhausted there, and double, like it. And then, but I'm trying. So I don't have a choice because it's where I come from.
You're making it seem like a death sentence. I don't know. You know, cause it's the way I come from, it's life. Like,
but I do not really complain much.
Okay.
Yeah.
Alright. So it's just home. So it's just home. So tell me about The Alchemist.
To be honest,
yes. Because we are doing honesty today. Hey. To be honest, yes.
To be honest, I listened to it, but I didn't finish it because of a certain disturbance that came. I did not. But as far as, okay, should I tell you where I ended?
Okay, but tell me. Tell me where you ended. Student.
I didn't go far.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Where did you go? Yeah, 3 months.
Just a
month. Eh? Oh, okay. How long has it been since you got that assignment?
In a month.
Oh, okay. And in 1 month, 91 days, you didn't. Okay.
So I didn't go that far.
Oh, okay.
But my plan, no, in all honesty, my plan was to finish it because you say that I should not re-listen to it. That boring.
But I already told you that you must literally do it and you go to bed. Because had you listened to me, you would have went to bed most now at 8 o'clock. Then you listen to Alchemist by 10 o'clock. You could have slept there in the middle, woken up and whatever, but by 10 o'clock you would have been done. But okay, how far is it? How far did you read or listen?
No, I listened to it. It's 3 hours. So, I don't agree with your homework properly. Where is it?
Now you're blinking in the dark.
No.
Okay, but tell me how far. How far did you get?
Okay, the last thing I remember is when the boy.
When you want to lie, but your phone is slow. Like, just leave, man.
I did not do my homework properly. I didn't.
Okay, but which part did you do?
the part that I did.
Because there's a difference between properly and at all. So, okay, so now tell me at all. Tell me which part you did do.
The part that I did, mm-hmm.
Just tell me about the alchemist, about how far you got.
You know, I don't want to lie, but I don't know if I heard properly, but I had a boy in the ship in the desert, but
okay.
I don't want to lie, so I don't know if that is really what I
Okay. Yes, but that's correct.
That I did my homework, it's just that I didn't do it properly.
But your homework would have been, there's no, you didn't do it at all. It's not that you did it. It's not that you did it. So what about the boy, the sheep, and the desert? What did you hear?
Yeah, that is what I'm trying. I'm trying to gather my thoughts together.
Mm-mm. So, I'm so disappointed in you.
Don't be, ma'am.
I'm so disappointed. I don't, there's no second chance.
On the last thing I said, if.
At whose university? Not at mine. At my university, there's no second chance. So what did you, I want to know what you heard, because it can't just be the sheep, the desert, and the boy.
I'm trying to gather my thoughts together. So, So now you want to hear what I had.
Mm-hmm.
Should I just make it short for you?
Or even long. Because it's short anyways. Come all the long way or the short way. Like you went very far. Just give me the long way that is short anyways. Yeah. you people think you are clever. At least you went down fighting. Okay. So tell me, what were you feeling when you listened? Like the feeling in your body?
I used a speaker and my phone was on flight mode. I felt the echo and I felt like someone is reading a novel. Oh, wait, is it a novel on its own?
It's a whole book, my love. Hey, hey, hey.
Oh.
Hey. Hey. I'm introducing you guys to audiobooks. Because it's not everybody that can sit and read a whole book. But you can listen. Because some people are active listeners. Active listeners where you can be doing something and still be listening. Or you can just lay down and really honestly listen. So it's a listening and comprehension skill that I'm trying to give you guys. That's why I said, don't go back. If you miss something, don't go back. Because this will teach you also to catch up with conversations. Even if there are pieces missed, you will learn to piece them together.
So now, I don't think I'm good at that.
I don't think so either. I don't think you're really good at it.
I don't even know how I passed my listening skills.
Well, I think that you just didn't give it a chance. Because if you would have given it a chance, I think you would have enjoyed it. It would have helped you a lot.
Mom, do you mind if you recommend me another one?
Take the Alchemist.
No, I'm going to repeat that one.
Take the Alchemist. You learned nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Yes. But
The guy goes and becomes the sun later, and then he goes and talks to the moon. He falls in love, falls out of love. It's exactly up your alley. Fights.
I know. That is not what I said.
It's all in the book. So if you can prove that you can listen to The Alchemist, then I'll recommend you other things that will also enlighten you. For now, the challenge is The Alchemist.
If I fail this one and...
You're not going to fail it because you are going to redo it until you get it.
I failed.
But you're going to keep redoing it until you get it.
Okay, no, I'm going to... Is it on Play Store wherever I can maybe download it and start?
You can download it on YouTube and keep it on your YouTube feed.
I've already downloaded it, but I don't want it in the form of an audio.
You need it in the form of an audio. Because we have already established that you can read. But can you listen?
No, I can't. But I'll give it a try again.
Yes, you must. Before this year ends.
Ending.
Yeah, it's ending next month, huh? But before this year ends. That's literally your homework. You must do that. You must listen to The Alchemist. I don't want you to read it. I want you to listen to The Alchemist.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll do so.
As long as your grandmother doesn't have deep conversations with you and she's with Ndafa, you just have your earphones in. Like literally. That's why I said go and do it at the village.
Yeah,
it can also teach you to keep quiet. Hey, just to keep quiet because you are listening to something. Like these things of reading. You know when you are reading, name? You are using your eyes and then you are also using your internal or invisible mouth. So you are still talking.
Yes. Okay.
So that's why I'm saying that. Especially that's why I said that. Do it in the village. It will give you such, there's a feeling that comes after the book ends. And that is what I want you guys to experience. That is why I told you guys to read the book and come back to me. Come back to me so that we can discuss. I don't need you guys to come and summarize what happened within the book, right? I want you guys to come and tell me how you felt when listening to the book. And you can tell me about different parts of the book that gave you a sense of what. Because there are a lot of moments where you're going to talk to yourself when you listen. This guy is stupid. Like, And then but how can this guy do this? You're going to do that.
Okay. I'll try again.
Try again. And then I don't want to ruin the book for you, I don't want to ruin it for you. And that is why I wanted you to, that's why I called you specifically today.
Okay.
Because today was supposed to be the day.
But I was not prepared.
That's the thing. This homework was given in September. It was September. It was before my birthday. My birthday is on the 5th.
Was it not
September?
Okay. Oh, why am I failing with memory?
You're not concentrating. It was September. And now we are headed to December. It's 3 hours of your time. So tomorrow, just tell them that you're listening to an audiobook for school. Nobody will really bother you like that when you're listening to something for school.
But I can still do it most in the middle of the night.
You can do it in the middle of the night. Like, especially after dinner in the village, everybody just goes straight to sleep.
I
Except you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can listen to it.
Okay, mom.
Yeah. Just take your time and listen to it. Listen to it and live past the first 10 minutes. Trust me. Just keep listening past 10 minutes. Because your problem is that you only reach 4 minutes and then you're bored. You're like, that's why you only remember there was a desert and there was a boy and there was a sheep.
But, okay.
So a person that looks after sheep is called what? A shepherd. He's a shepherd. He's not just a boy with sheep. He's a shepherd.
I still have it on my download.
You have to. You have to, or else I'll denounce you. You have to. Yeah. So I want you to go and listen to The Alchemist. When you listen to The Alchemist, trust me, once you start listening to books like that, your vocabulary changes. Your articulation changes. You learn more words.
Wait, mom. So you being who you are and the English that you speak now, you can speak English for an hour without mixing any language. So it's because of that.
Well, it's... I wouldn't say...
Apart from you, I know that you're educated. Ne?
Okay, apart from my character. But it's... No. It's because I have interest in words. I have a real interest in words.
If you hear a word for the very first time, you have to go deeper.
You know what? I don't know if it's... One thing that I have, I wouldn't want to toot my own horn and call it a talent. But one skill that I do have is I have understanding of words even if I've never heard them.
How?
So even if you put a word within a sentence, I know what it means. But do you know what that's called?
No.
It's understanding the sentence. So understanding that there's no other word that would fit here except for a word that means this.
Mom, are you able to write a novel?
I have already done that. I'm a published author.
But my question is, because you are very young, but how did you do it? At my end, were you just like that?
I have my own interests. I have my things that I'm interested in. And at your age, I was drinking.
Yes, but...
Yeah.
But...
I was drinking and not being awesome. And then I quit drinking. And then I had to now substitute all the time that I spent in a bar with things that I'm actually good at. So I've always had a talent. I've been singing since primary school.
You just realize that when you quit that.
No. I've always had it, but the things came second to my habits. Because I wouldn't finish a whole entire chapter because I have to go. So now I don't have to go anywhere. So I finished the chapter. I remember the day I finished writing my book and I emailed it to the editors. My computer died. Like literally. It shut down that day. Just after I hit send. But hold the line.
Efiloshisho otalikula ndulako na vewayuka. Ekwashilipalekolo marwendo paiwano kupitila mo NHP. Watupateleko meshwe kwashilipaleko la fika mafio pe dola emiliona omlongo danamibia. Moshi joshe tukeshe kuyanja oma kwa fo unamiti enashane filo shisholo pa ulumo mumbu. Kwa avoveli ponje yoshilongo, shijoshi topo rwasho ijo yetu, tashiningwa inapawe banando ishoshe layash. Opo umone ya kulolo polis maule ominute dishonailela, lishangifako nhp.com.na omanga ino ya morwendo. Ponjeo Shilong, Emangono Malandula Pano, or Dodino Kulandurwa. NHP, rooted in care for you. Go help!
love, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch and Dina. You were saying?
At some point when I used to, go back to the podcast and start listening to you for like 30 minutes, you hear you speak, but you just don't stop. And then I just don't hear any mistake.
And maybe I also self-correct. If I make a mistake, I self-correct.
Okay.
I would say maybe perplexed. I mean dazzled. You see, that's a correction.
For what?
That's a correction. I just corrected myself. So the way that I would correct myself is like self-correct is if I say this, the wrong word, for example, and then I would say, I mean means that dismiss this and take this.
Okay.
So it's probably that I'm not really that perfect. I'm not even close, but.
But, you know, honestly, if in this world, it happens.
I can't hear you.
If we have to choose people in our lives that are part of our lives, that you have to choose someone to go write for you or maybe to go speak for you orally, I have to choose you. And I'll not even do anything that day because I believe you.
You will not send me information that would be useful, nothing. Because I got this.
Like that, I already believe in you that, no, this person got this. This person will never fail me no matter what. So I believe in that person. Even if it's something that you have never heard of, and then someone just asks you, pop it. At least you have a little bit of an idea. You can just get half a mark. It will just add.
But that's why I keep telling you guys that you guys should at least know 10% of everything.
10%.
No, just a little bit. You don't have to know everything, just a little bit. Know that within an aeroplane, there's a thing called the cockpit where the pilot sits. Just know that.
That is what you're saying.
Yeah, just know that. Now imagine you've never been on a plane, but you also don't know nothing. What's that? The office where they are? Hey, you go and say office. Everybody's like, I'm a sister.
But if that only is, I could have done it.
Just know a little bit. That's it.
Okay.
But I want you to go and listen. I want you to enhance your life. I want you to make your life a little bit more exciting with understanding the world. You are very young, and I want you to go and explore. I want you to go and live in America. I want you to go and go to Canada. I want you to go to the UK. I want you to travel the world. I want you to have an exciting life.
Yeah, there is, I think I had that conversation with one of my friends just asking me, I know if you graduate, are you going to continue? I told her, no, school is good, but it depends. For me, I will just specialize in something, but I will not do it here mostly in Namibia. I don't know if it's the country, whereby at least I worked on that, especially in Zambia. I've seen Zambian qualifications, they are very good. So I will just specialize in something, even for 2 years, at least here and there, at least Zambia, more even 3 or 4 years of my life. So I go back.
My dear. Exactly. And also I want you to think outside of the continent. You, when you think of living, you just think of going next door or what? Oh. Hey, just want to travel, go next door. Next door is not traveling. Aye. No. So you must travel the world.
Okay.
Mm. Especially since you are young and there's nothing holding you here. There's no kids, there's no husband, there's no nothing like that holding you here. Yes. Yeah.
At that time, I find myself looking back, even if I'm somewhere, I find myself looking back at my grandma.
Your grandmother can always just back up and come with you. My dear, there are other countries that have great healthcare for seniors.
Okay.
While you are working, with your nurse's degree, go to the UK. Go work. Or go and work for a year. Eh? Go and work for a year. Build your nice castle there in the village and pimp your grandmother's house and come back. Study. Eh? So that you can be going to, you can start working at Lady Pohamba Things immediately because your qualification that you got from the UK is strong.
I prefer Zambia qualification.
Well, it's not about preference, it's about who's stronger. How?
Okay.
Like, I just want to beat you up now.
You know, every time I'm like, I wake up, I'm like, there's always one person that always motivates me, né? Even if there's no money. Mm. So I just have to go because it's my life at the end of the day.
It really is.
And at the time where I was looking for, I wanted you to replay this. It's 2023 July. No, 2023 June. I just can't find it anymore. Mm. There was some music, but I think there was just, a good conversation there. Just that I can't reflect back because it's been a while. 2023 and this is 2023.
2 years ago? Great, I hear you on that one. Yeah, it's 2 years. Mikila was born in what, 2023? 2 years.
Yeah. For me, it's been a long
time. But we'll find it. We'll find it and we might just play it.
Okay. I'm wanting to also charge my headset because I want to listen to it. Mm-hmm. I don't like your phone vibrator headset, or maybe putting it on speaker.
Oh, okay. So tonight we're listening to stand-up comedy.
Who?
To stand-up comedy. Mm-hmm. So are you going to listen? We are listening to stand-up comedy here on our show today.
Oh, I'll listen.
Uh-huh, then you must call back.
Okay, Mom.
All right, my darling. I love you so much. And please make time to listen to The Alchemist.
Definitely.
I will drill you every day.
When I come back,
you will become my personal project.
When I come back, I'll make sure that I will not look disappointed even when I start speaking.
It's true. But you must listen to it, ne? For pleasure and for understanding.
Okay.
Not to come and make your point here. We already know that you're an A-star student. You're not coming to Bumuna anybody here. We don't care.
I want to become better than me.
You can be. The student always becomes better than the master.
Aiming higher.
Aim, my dear. Aim high. It says English. all right, my love.
All right, Mom.
Ciao, ciao. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Hi. Welcome to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. Alrighty. So the number in studio is 083-288-401. That is the number in studio. So we're doing something that's a little bit unorthodox today. Today we're going to be listening to stand-up comedy. Nah? And I'm going to come back and I'm going to be laughing and I'm going to be talking my things. And I'm just going to be waiting for you guys to come in, participate, just like Aina did. You know, it's Friday. Let's chill. Let's have fun. Let's have a good time. If you catch something that's a bit unorthodox, please let me know. What's that? And also, ladies and gentlemen, we as Eagle Media House do not claim any ownership of anything that we're playing here. So you don't come for my company and say, yeah, but we don't claim any ownership. This is strictly just you listening also, because we know that you don't have the means, maybe. Or you don't have the exposure. We don't have the same taste. So I'm introducing you to mine. So, hello?
Like the solar eclipse. It's not the same no more. It's different. Like my cousin looked directly into the solar eclipse. He looked right into it. And they tell you not to. He looked directly into it. And he gay now. His whole life changed. You know what I'm saying? They tell you don't look at it. He told my son, I ain't blind, but you suck dick now. Your whole summer is different. It's the bird box. They told you don't look up there. This is not the same eclipse from 97. This 2025. Why would you play like that? I don't even believe in astrology. Astrology ain't my thing, man. I don't base who I date on when they fell out of a vagina. I think that's stupid. I appreciate that, gay white man. Thank you. You've been loud the whole show. He's been loud the whole show. I've been trying to ignore him. But I know if I say the wrong shit, the helicopter gonna come down. I'm gonna be fucked up. I don't want no smoke with you.
All right. That went south very quickly. And I think we can figure out why it went south. But before that, take a minute.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff. Ngino wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwala. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshefa omarudi. Dayoloka, opone ushendi fenawa, nokumona oijamo ili nawa, ninge kwata fanona, Monica ko Eagle FM, onore tatuimwe bali heali, nola natu, heali bali no heali, ileko derewa, nora hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, oma filane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed. Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
What's going on, Provo party animals? Got the kids in the second row. That's always good at a comedy show. It's like performing at Chuck E. Cheese. How old are you, man? 15. That's a tough year, isn't it? I can see why you need some comic relief. Enjoy 15, kiddo, because at 16, it's all downhill from there, huh? How about you, sir? How many 15s are you? 3. You need to lay off the crystal meth, huh? Because of people like you, I can't buy Sudafed anymore. You're not 45, sir. There's no way. There's no way. You have had a hard life. You see, that's what happens when you don't eat your vegetables. You see that? You age like bananas. Now, how old are you, man? How old are you, sir? No, seriously, come on. I'm going to guess. I was going to guess 75. You look great, sir. Good for you. Oh, you made it. Oh, it's a good age, 74. I want to be 74 so badly. Wake up every day, 4:30 a.m. for no reason whatsoever. Just waiting for the newspaper to be delivered. Watch a little History Channel, a little Price is Right, pound back some prune juice. You are living the life, sir. We're going to party tonight, you and me, buddy. We're going to whip and nay-nay till the sun comes up. Now watch me whip. Now watch me nay nay. Now watch me whip. You have no idea what I'm talking about, do you, sir? That's fine. I'll buy the shots. Bring the high blood pressure medication, all right? We're going to get crazy in here tonight. It is good to be here, man. I'm down here from Canada. That's where I'm from. Thank you. Thank you very much. Wow. That was a very American response. Oh, you're from Canada. Yeah, we don't really care. I just ate at the Cracker Barrel for the first time the other day. Yeah. Not because I never wanted to, just because I wasn't sure if I was allowed to. I'm gonna let that simmer for the slow people. This is the Cracker Barrel, man. It's an interesting restaurant. I walk in the front door and I gotta fight my way through a yard sale. Is the Cracker Barrel moving? Looks like they're trying to get rid of all their trash. Just a bunch of random stuff. Just ice skates, wind chimes, and Kenny Rogers albums. You can't even find that combination at a Goodwill. I sat down to order myself a country breakfast, man. Came with grits. You guys know about the grits? Oh, man. It's my first time eating hillbilly hummus. I haven't had anything that tasty since my first grade paper mache class. Just breakfast with a side of arts and crafts. If you let it sit, it turns into a concrete aggregate. Just take it home and regrow up my kitchen backsplash. I had to wash it down with sweet tea. I do love me some sweet tea. That's a good drink right there. Sweet tea? Oh, we don't have that in Canada. Try explaining to my friends. Like, it's kind of like iced tea. And then you add sugar. So you can almost chew the drink. It's the deliciousness of liquid diabetes. I'm never moving home. I'm dying in America, happy with swollen ankles. I don't live in Canada anymore. I live in Atlanta, Georgia. Now, that's where I live now. I moved there because they had a Six Flags amusement park. That is the only research I did. Nobody told me they built it right in the middle of the ghetto. The scariest ride is walking from the parking lot. My brother joined me late. He's like, I didn't know Six Flags had valet service. Like, they don't. You just got carjacked. It's a big difference growing up in Canada. We get snow every year. Man, you guys get snow. You can live in it. It doesn't affect you, right? You can drive. I moved to Atlanta, Georgia. They get a half an inch of snow. People go into a state of panic. We got 1 inch of snow a couple years ago, shut down the entire city. You know how funny that was to a Canadian? I watched people abandon their vehicles. We'll just buy a new one when the snow melts. You realize it's going to be 70 degrees tomorrow, right? Can't hear you. I'm on my way to the grocery store to pick up 15 loaves of bread. Gotta make sure I'm prepared for this apocalypse. Plus, tonight would be a perfect night to get drunk because my children are trapped in school. It's like a free babysitter. Go dogs! My brother actually just got caught in a DUI checkpoint recently, man. He texted me. What he wanted to send was, hey, man, just got pulled over by the cops. They want to test me for a DUI. But what he ended up sending was, they want to test me for an IUD. And I don't think I've laughed that hard in 3 months. Because that is female birth control. I go, how do you feel? He goes, I'm pretty confident. I was like, I'm pretty confident too. He's like, I only had one beer. I was like, bro, if they're going to test you for an IUD, you might want to have a couple more. I don't know what the procedure involves, but it sounds invasive. That is a great laugh. That is the kind of laugh you don't want to hear in a pitch black in the middle of the night. You know what I mean? When you're all tucked in the bed, you know, you're about to fall asleep. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Chucky's here. Chucky is under the bed. It's a great laugh. It sounds like somebody's pulling your string. I like you. You're a great laugher. Thank you for sitting up front. My brother, actually, he's got the most kids in my family. He's LeVar. He's my best friend. He's 40 years old. He's been married 4 times. He's got 4 kids. We call him the impulse shopper. He's got 1 kid from every marriage, which is cool. But here's the kicker. Each of the wives was a different ethnicity. So it looks less like he's had four failed relationships and more like he's a philanthropist who's adopted kids from four different continents. His family photo looks like an advertisement for Old Navy. That's awesome. He's always harping on me because I don't have any children. I'm the only one in the family that doesn't have kids. But here's the thing. It's not that I don't like children. All right. It's just that I don't want to give my kids the best years of my life. I want to give them what's left. You know what I mean? I want to be so far past my prime that if we play catch, I'll probably blow out a hip. I want to be a burden. If they're going to get an inheritance, they're going to earn it. All right. See, 15, you don't know anything about that, man. You're 15 years old. You wake up in the morning. You just spring out of bed. You don't assess your body or nothing. It's good morning. 74 can't do that. That guy go to bed perfectly fine. Wake up, torn ACL. All because he had a dream that he was running. And here's the worst part, sir. You didn't even win the race. it's the joys of getting older, man. That's one thing we all have in common. We're all aging, man. Men and women alike, man. Anybody celebrating a birthday by chance in here? We got one? That's cool. How you doing, sir? You doing all right? What's your name, my friend? Ammon. Ammon? We're going to call you Jim, all right? That's a cool name. Amen? Is you sure it's not Amen? That would make more sense in this state. Is that too far? You guys can't laugh and then take the laugh back. Oh, no, you can't do it. No. It's like an email. You already mailed it, all right? This is fun, man. Thanks for coming out on your birthday, bro. It's a cool birthday. You get to hang out with some cool people, enjoy some laughs. It's a lot better than my last birthday. I went on a field trip to the gastroenterologist. Does anybody know what they do? I didn't. Here's the thing. They thought I had an ulcer, right? So in order for them to check that, they had to, they put a camera of a place. It's attached to 137 feet of fiber optic wiring and an air compressor. I don't want to frighten anybody. They don't bring the equipment to the equation until the second appointment. They want to take it slow, get to know you better. First appointment is a regular office visit. You go in there, they ask you a bunch of questions, and the doctor throws a curveball. He's like, yeah, I'm going to need a stool sample. You got like a to-go cup or something, doc? Because right now is not a good time for me. I don't feel as I can give you what you need at this present moment. He's like, no, I'll take the sample. I was like, you'll take the sample, but it's still inside. He's like, what I need you to do is lay on the table, face the wall, pull your drawers down while he snaps on a rubber glove. And he gets the sample. And then he hands you a pamphlet after. I was like, I don't want your pamphlet, sir. You just penetrated me. As far as I'm concerned, we're now in a relationship. I'll be back at 5:30. We're going to the Cracker Barrel. But I couldn't go back at 5:30 because you got to spend the rest of the day prepping, which means you can't eat any more solid food. You got to take a laxative. I'm like, no problem. I've taken some X-Lax before. Not a big deal. Oh, no. They give you a prescription to a laxative. You know you're in trouble when you go to the pharmacist. You're like, hey, man, can you feel that? Yeah. What flavor did you want your liquid exorcism to be? He comes back with like 2.5 gallons of this stuff. You take it home, you pound it back. It tastes horrible. It's got like a weird consistency to it. And then you just wait. And don't be brave. Don't try to make a quick trip to the Walmart because your schedule's been set. And it works different for everybody. I didn't think it was going to work for me. Waited 2 hours. Nothing happened. 3 hours. Nothing. So I went to sleep. Which in hindsight probably wasn't the smartest of ideas. You ever been woken up by... That's some scary stuff right there. It's the middle of the night. I'm tired. I'm trying to talk myself out of it. It's like, I was going to lay here for a little longer. Pinch my butt cheeks together. We can do this in the morning. No, you're right. Go do this right now. You jump up out of bed only to find out the structural integrity of your seal had been compromised. See, they gotta waddle to the bathroom like a gingerbread man. And that's where you set up base camp. And I hope you know a Sherpa, you're gonna be there for a while. I blacked out twice. The second time I woke up, I couldn't feel my legs. I thought I went so hard, I paralyzed myself. But I'd just been sitting there so long that the circulation to my extremities was cut off. I couldn't feel my legs, so they fell asleep. I've never been happy to feel the excruciating pain of pins and needles as I tap my feet back to consciousness. Basically, what I'm trying to say is, happy birthday, amen. Just took the llama off of that one. That's it. And are you here with your girlfriend, wife? How you doing, miss? How'd you meet her? Yeah. I'm going to go back to the creepy old guy. It's amazing what you do for somebody when you first meet them, though, right? When you're in that wooing stage, like, you'll do stuff you wouldn't typically do to impress them. That's just human nature. Like, my ex-girlfriend was a vegetarian. When I met her, I stopped eating meat. And I'm not proud of that. I'm just saying, like, I know I did it for her, because as soon as she dumped me, I couldn't get to Wendy's fast enough. I was like, yeah, give me 5 Baconators. I'm trying to cover up this heartache with some angina. I didn't even eat them all. I just went home, got naked, rubbed the patties on my chest. Just waxing on and off like a heartbroken karate kid. She wanted to change me too, man. She wanted me to cut off all my hair because she no longer found long hair on guys attractive, which was weird to me because she had really busted feet. And I'm not a feet person, but I never once tried to coerce her to go get work done on her foot hooves. I could have easily been like, yo, let's go get your reshoe.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. Eagle FM lets you express your
I just don't understand. This life, whenever good thing happens to you, people will just come out to take credit. If you see people that came to me to tell me they were the ones that made it happen, I don't know where they came. Cameraman in government house. I just got there. He started telling me and governor since morning, no big small fight because of you. The only person we don't like to look like in our house is my grandmother, because she has a gift of complaining. My grandmother complains for everything. One day rain touched her, she complained. Say that the rain is too hard on her. That doesn't the rain know she's an old woman. So why?
She's a pensioner. Like that.
My grandmother complained in the church when they gave her Holy Communion. She said the bread is not today bread.
Daddy, wait, and I want to talk to my father.
Yeah, Daddy, thank you, sir. Thank you. I know secretly you've been praying for me. You don't want to tell me. The prayer is working. Daddy, I've been looking for a way to see you since, but it's not like I don't want to see you. It's just that the protocol... I don't know why. No, it's not like they're not doing a good job, but
save big this festive season at WB. Get 4 kg Kadila mixed chicken for $184.99.
You are now listening to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight, weekdays from 4:30.
Don't know, one particular guy, he always park me very far from the church. Before I walk from that side to the church, or it's already fifth service. Most times, no way to see you. So because of that, now me too, I've decided to join the protocol team in Lekki Church. so that people will not suffer what I'm suffering. So me, I try my best to pack people close to the church. Like if you come late now, the church is in Lekki. I used to tell them to park somewhere very close to the church at Ibejo Lekki. That you know Lagos now, Daddy. So you know that that place is very close to. It's not even far. It's just like from here to Igrita. It's not that far like that. So that's why I just tell people to stay. Yeah. So. Daddy, forget, oh. This thing is not easy, oh. You see the things that has been happening. As I will come and share it with you. Honestly, I just don't understand. This life, whenever good thing happens to you, people will just come out to take credit. Yeah, like that time they gave me that appointment, Daddy. This life, if you see people that came to me to tell me they were the ones that made it happen. I don't know where they came. Cameraman in government house. I just got there. He started telling me and governor since morning, no be small fight because of you. Don't just understand some people. And see, Daddy, I know those people that used to pack me far from the church, I know it's not really their fault. Yeah, because ever since it's been long since we saw, so that our resemblance is now reducing. it's now reducing, so they don't used to know that I'm your son anymore. So I said I will look for a way to renew it. Yeah, because in my family, we normally look like whoever is taking care of us. If you come to my family now, you won't know who we look like. Because anytime my father has money, we look like him. Anytime my mother has money, we look like her too. So the thing used to hurt my father. So sometimes he used to go and borrow money just to make sure we look like him. So what we do is, the thing is not, it's something that is just there. It's not like we do it on our own. And if the money is not coming from you direct, then we don't look like you. And so whenever our father goes to borrow money from our landlord, we start looking like our landlord. So that's what we do. So like now, Daddy, like now, that time I was telling you about that 10 million thing, that time now. Hey, if you give me that money now, me and you, carbon copy. If you see, nobody will see the difference. I will even come here and preach on your behalf. They won't notice. Nobody will know. That's all. Yeah, so the only person we don't like to look like in our house is my grandmother, because she has a gift of complaining. My grandmother complains for everything. One day rain touched her, she complained. She said that the rain is too hard on her, that doesn't the rain know she's an old woman, so why is it hitting her like that? My grandmother complained in the church when they gave her Holy Communion. She said the bread is not today's bread.
It's wild. It's wild. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. If you guys have just joined us, yes, I'm here. Don't even be thinking that I'm not here. I'm here. I'm just here to do something that has never been done. I'm here to make you guys laugh, but not with my own voice today, because I know that you guys are already laughing there. Yeah, but I kind of ran out of jokes. So I was just giving you guys other people, to entertain you. It's Friday, ladies and gentlemen. The number in studio is 0832888401. Please do call in and let's have a conversation, shall we? Let's talk.
Alpha. I never done one. You know, I'm not a very happy man, you know, and there are some things that's been happening that I don't really like about the world in general. Well, let me tell you this. You see, in this life we live, there are two things involved. It's either you're a man or you're a woman. If you're a woman, you are safe. But if you're a man, there are two things involved. It's either you're a civilian or you're in the military. If you're a civilian, you are safe. If you're in the military, there are two things involved. It's either you're in the office or you're at the war front. If you're in the office, you are safe. If you're at the war front, there are two things involved. It's either you kill somebody or somebody kill you. If you kill somebody, you are safe. If somebody kill you, there are two things involved. It's either you are being buried or your body is used for manure. If you are being buried, you are safe. If your body is being used for manure, there are two things involved. It's either you are used to grow plants, flowers, or you are used for trees. If you are used for flowers, you are safe. If you are used for trees, there are two things involved. It's either you are being used to make paper and tissue paper, or you are being used to make furniture. If you are used for furniture, you are safe. If you are used for tissue paper, there are two things involved. Thank you. It's either you are being used by a man or you are being used by a woman. If you are being used by a man, you are safe. Thank you. But if you are being used by a woman, there are two things involved. It's either she uses you from the back or she uses you from the front. If you are being used from the back, you are safe. If you are being used from the front, there are two things involved. It's either you contact gonorrhea or you contact HIV. If you contact gonorrhea, you are safe. If you contact HIV, there's only one thing involved. You will die. Thank you. Thank you. AIDS is for real. Let's try and play safe. Women, I respect women 100%. My mom is a woman, so it helps. My mom, when I was little, my mom, we are from, when in Nigeria, we call it the Ajepaku. That's the poor people. I belong there. The Ajepako people, like when we were young, it's always hard for us to, you know, like buying Christmas clothes for us was very hard. The rich people, when they go shopping for Christmas, it's around 18th or 20th of December when it's expensive. Those days, if you want to buy Christmas clothes, they want to buy Christmas clothes for us. My father used to buy it around January or February when it's cheap. Before Christmas, you don't jump. Buying chicken was hard also. We always cry, Mommy, you never buy chicken. You never buy chicken. We're disturbing her. Mommy, never buy chicken. 21st of December, chicken never come. 22nd, Mommy, never buy. And all our neighbors don't buy chicken. My mom was frustrated. So she prepared jollof rice for us that we should eat. When we finish eating, she would take us to the market to buy chicken and our Christmas cloth. We did not know that she put Villon 5. We ate and woke up on the 15th of January. Since that day, we no complain again. The school I went to, Ajepako School also, the name of the school, unlike the rich people, the school they go to in Nigeria, is always, you hear, the names are always nice. You hear names like King's College, Queen's College, Pampas, Corona, sweet schools. The name of my school can even make you fail your exam. Umukoro Development Community High School. How can you pass? And back then, we used to sit at the back. Me and my colleagues, we did not know anything in school. So we'll go and hide at the back. So when the teacher walks into the class and goes like, okay, I want you to recite the 2x table. Go! Those ones that are brilliant in front will just stand up. 2x1, 2, 2x2, 4. We will know no book. We go there back. We'll be adding bays. One day I was carried away. I was adding bass. The teacher was hearing bass from the back. I was like, and he told everybody to keep quiet. I did not hear him. So it was, I was the last person to do. He just said, you stand up. I stood up. He said, you recite it alone. I said, teacher, I know well, oh. The guy that was sitting next to me knew that if I don't get it, they will call us. They will call him. He said, "Hi, sir." Teacher said, "What?" He said, "Teacher, he say you know well now. You know go leave." And teacher said, "Okay, you stand up, recite the 2x table." She told me to sit down. The boy stood up and said, "Teacher, me self, I know well, no." He said, "Teacher, all of us for here, we know well." That boy's name was Ochuku. That boy was very, was from Warri. Do you know where Warri is in Nigeria? Those are, those people that are very different from other Nigerian people, you know? So different. You know, this math, and all these mathematics teachers, they make us so confused. You go to, you get to the class, you say, X minus Y equals to 2. Find X. See X there now? Where will I find them? Go again. And there was this math they used to teach us those days, that if it takes 3 boys and do you people do here? If it takes 3 boys an hour to clear grass in a plot of land, how long will it take? How many boys you'll solve your math? Teacher came into the class, asked the first boy, you stand up. If it takes 5 boys an hour to clear grass in a plot of land, how long will it take 8 boys? The boy stood up and he got it. They asked Ochuku, Ochuku, stand up. If it takes 10 boys an hour to clear grass in a plot of land, how long will it take 15 boys? Ochuku said, bros. Oh, wow, bros. If 10 boys don't clear grass, 15 boys no go, nothing there to clear now. Then go pack the grass now. I'm telling you. Nigerian home videos, they are doing very well. Nigerian home videos are doing well. And I, when I was moving around, I saw some of their films here. And there are some things they do. I don't know if you've noticed it. There are some things they do that really trips me. When it comes to their names, the way they name their movies, they use how the actress and the actor looks to name. I don't know if you've noticed it. If the actress fine, like Genevieve, beautiful girl, RMD, handsome man. The name of the film will be True Love. If it's Genevieve and Ramsey Noah, fine people, they'll call it Love Forever. Genevieve and Pat Atta, fine people, they'll call it Dying to Love. But if it's Genevieve and Shego Arinze, you see the name, could this be love? And if you watch Nigerian films and the American films, it's different. Even the Indian movies. American films, when it comes to the end part, you know, the way they want to fight you, you know, like, no, you can't fuck with me, nigga, I'm gonna pump your ass, nigga, down, nigga, poop, 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 start shooting. You know? And there are slow motions, they put slow motions where it's needed. You see the guy jumping out of the building, slow motion, poof. Nigerian films, there's no part, nobody can jump from the building now. So the only time they put slow motion is either when Ramsey Noah wants to slap Genevieve. You see, you, I'm going to slap you. That's the only effect they can do. If you watch Indian films, those people are terrible. They'll be saying and they sing. When they won't fight, they will sing. If they are making love, they will sing. Everything are singing. Kuku sing, now leave him. You see, Dramendra will just come and say, Bushki di kadaba. Then she di kadaba. Won't get ready till no concern. You'll come and say, Nahi, Nahi. What he concern you now? The next thing, music don't start. They don't start to dance. Chinese films, those ones, they move their lips like 100 times and only 2 or 3 words will come out. You see Shifu and Shinha last fight. You see Shifu with your commander. You don't finish. Nigerian films, most times, some of their movies are good, some of them, they are not too good. I watched one the other day. There was the words, they were talking slow because they wanted to kill time. Nothing there to talk. Kanayo, oh, Kanayo just came out. You, I am going to shoot you now, and you will die. Saint Obi said, oh, why do you want to shoot me? What did I do? Shut up! Shut up! Now die! The gunshot always sounds like knockout. Bah! 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 Ah! 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 You have shoot me. Now I will die. You know, there is this conventional thing in Ghana that I've noticed with the women. They are heavily endowed when it comes to their behind, you know. And you know, the only woman who stop conversation when their behind they big. I'm telling you. You see, two responsible men could discuss. So it's, I think the money we're expecting is going to be like maybe like 6.2 billion naira. You know, but we're going to get there, you know. And we're supposed to be having a meeting with the expatriates so like on Tuesday. And seriously. And there's this thing that these women, they do nowadays that really trips me. They'll come to church and they'll sit in front. And they confuse the pastors. Why? Because they wear short skirts. In Lagos, they do. You see, fine girl, short skirt, you just sit down. Front of pastor. Confuse pastor. Lagos pastors, they try as much as possible not to look. Not to even get distracted. Like a Lagos pastor might be preaching, my brothers and my sisters, glory, glory, glory. You see, I want to tell you that you have to be born again. Glory, 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 glory. Jesus, Jesus. So what they do is that they'll try not to go to that part because they don't want to be tempted. But in worry pastors, they will look. But it's hard to look because you are on top and she's below. So they will
turn the preaching to something that will make them go down. You see the pastor preaching about repentance. My brothers and my sisters, praise the Lord. You see, I want to tell you that you have to be born again to enter into the kingdom of God. Glory be to God. Before I talk about repentance, I want to tell you that Abraham was a man that was assigned by God to look into the future. So Abraham was directed by God to be moving majestically. Abraham was moving spiritually. Abraham was moving steadily. And God told Abraham to bend down and look into the future. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Jesus is Lord. The future was not clear. The future was not clear, but Abraham is a man that has hope and faith and wisdom. Abraham did not give up. He still moved and bent down again. This time he looked and the future was clear. And you know, the worried people, you people, you don't have bike. Do you do bikes here? You don't. In Nigeria, we do bikes a lot, you know, because, you know, we're trying to beat traffic and everything, you know. And most times, people you in Lagos or another place of Nigeria, you have your money before you stop the bike, you know. Bike will stop. Yeah, Bode Thomas. Okay, 200 naira, no problem. You enter and you pay. Any worry? They have a technique. They don't have money normally. They don't have any naira in their pocket, but they will stop the bike. But they use a trick. They'll stop the bike. Bike will stop. Where? In Ere Junction. 200 naira. There might be like two guys, you know. 200 naira for our toes. No problem, we'll pay. We enter the bike. They will not say anything. When they are close to Ere Junction, the guy behind the bike man will ask his friend, Voke, that gun where I give you, how many bullets they remain inside? Voke, we make matters worse. Bros, now 6 bullets they remain. The bike man goes, oh, but I don't die today. Which kind of alarm? 6 bullets. No, be 8 stay inside before. The bros, you don't forget, say that bike man will carry us. We shoot her with 2 bullets. When they get to another job, they come and say, hey, bros, how much be the money? Bike man, no, bros, no. Not free. Ladies and gentlemen, comedy is something that is diverse. It's everybody have their own techniques. What I do is I try as much as possible not to crack jokes. But let me just do this one. This is a joke, actually. But it happened real life. I was there. I went to a banking hall in Lagos. I was seated in the banking hall. And because of this 25 billion naira thing in Nigeria, because every bank is like looking for 25 billion naira to be able to stand strong for a central bank. So now all the bankers are extremely nice, looking for money to put in the bank. One man from America just came in. You will know the way he was dressed and the way he was talking. Walked to the cashier and said, hello, madam, can I see your fucking manager, please? He said, sir, please, we don't use such words here, please. Please, this is a banking hall. What the fuck are you telling me? I want to see your fucking manager. You're telling me not to. What the, are you fucking crazy? What was this fucking girl telling you? My name is Tony. I'm the fucking manager. Let's go to my fucking office. Serious. But right now, ladies and gentlemen, most comedians, they try as much as possible to hit a punchline before they leave. It's a tradition. You crack jokes, you geese. You hit the crowd, and when everybody is all there, you know, standing ovation and everything, you say, thank you very much. God bless you. Good night. But me, I don't care. I leave anytime I like.
There was one time when I was...
Oh, what a wonderful night. Good evening to you. In case you have just joined us, it's me popping in. I'm popping in to say that you can call in and you can come and share a laugh. In case you are having that year-end fatigue and where it's like, one more month, guys. But it's like, it's more like January comes with a new spirit. Like we are not tired in January all of a sudden. Even if we've been working throughout the whole of December, we are like rebooted anew and all of that. So I think it's the new spirit of the year that must come into us. But all in all, like we are conquering. Yeah. We're conquering this the best way we know how. Hi, my name is the matriarch.
Is eating fried chicken in public though. And this black guy came up to me and he was like, really? Are you really gonna eat fried chicken right now? And I was so embarrassed because like white people were sitting right next to me. And I was like, are you really gonna chicken shame me in front of these white people? Like, white people would never do that to each other. They'd never be like, really? Are you really going to eat hummus right now in front of these black people?
There was a middle seat open next to me. I ain't want none of them sitting there talking to me the whole damn flight. So I had to turn my blackness up. Oh, yeah, white people, that's something we do. It's called managing your blackness. See, white people, y'all can be white all day long. Black people can't be black all day long. Society don't play that. It's messed up. But we have to choose throughout our day when to be black and when not to be. It's crazy. That black dude you work with, that ain't how he really act. That is not the real James. You go to a job interview, you cut that black shit off. You go in there like, yes, it behooves me to, I don't even know what the hell behoove me, but feel like you go there, you know. So I ain't want none of them sitting next to me. So I reached in my bag, put my baseball cap, put it on sideways, put my sunglasses on, put my headphones on, turned that shit up real loud. I was like, kill these niggas. All these niggas. All these niggas. Did nobody sit next to me. They were sitting on each other's laps before they came to this seat. As soon as they closed the door and locked it, I was like, whoo, took all that bullshit off and pulled my Sudoku book out. I was like,
I've been traveling a lot lately. I went camping for the first time recently. Thank you. I'll never do it again. I feel like when I tell people I've been camping for the first time, they're like, but you're a full adult. But I'm black. It's not something my family did. My parents were like, we bought a house. We sleep on the inside. And my boyfriend is white, and he took me to his homeland of Missouri to do this. And the group I was with is my boyfriend and his childhood friend, so everyone else is white, which is not their fault. And we're getting ready to swim in the river, and the way they're getting ready is by putting on prescription sunscreen and long sleeve swim shirts and long swim shorts. And this is all foreign to me because I have melanin. So I just spray a little sunscreen and go. And it's just further proof to me that white people aren't made for this earth.
Unbeatable prices now at Usain. Pay only $134.99 Namibian dollars for Lovie's premium disposable nappies. Pay just $6.99 for 8 Nina sanitary pads. $34.99 Namibian dollars for 250 grams of Fabu Farm body cream. 1 kilo bag of Sunlight 5-in-1 washing powder costs only $29.99 Namibian dollars at USAVE. And both 500 milliliter New Den Pine Gel and 750 milliliter Captain Dishwashing Liquid just $19.99 Namibian dollars. USAVE. We all save. At USAVE.
The view.
Like, y'all can't handle outside. I feel like people don't always like it when I talk about race in my sets, which I get. It makes some people feel uncomfortable. I've done shows where you can literally hear assholes tighten up like, make her stop! But I don't think race is such a touchy, taboo topic that we can't discuss or think about or laugh at. And I think it's good if we ask each other questions, or how else are we going to learn from our mistakes? When I was in college, I lived down the hall from a foreign exchange student from Korea, and she kept asking me if I knew certain people. She'd be like, do you know John? And I'd be like, no. She'd be like, do you know Shayna? And I'd be like, no. And I'm not sure what tipped me off, but I started to wonder if she was only asking me if I knew black people. So I asked her. I was like, are you only asking me if I know black people? And she goes, yes. And I was like, do you think I know all the black people at this school because I'm black? And she goes, uh-huh, yes. And I was like, you can't do that. That's a stereotype. That'd be like if I assume you knew all the Korean people at this school. And she goes, I do. We all know each other. And I was like, never mind. It's a good thing we kept talking. If that conversation had ended two sentences before that point, I would have left being like, that racist bitch. And she would have left being like, what's wrong with this antisocial black girl? She's not hanging out with her friends.
Something's wrong, man. Just don't be one of these people that's surprised that black folks got issues. Them the people I can't deal with. I'd rather talk to somebody that don't agree with me than somebody that's had their eyes closed. How did you know black people? Why are black people angry? We've been angry. This ain't new. You think this just happened last couple of years? Black folks been trying to tell y'all forever that they've had some issues, and we invented the blues. What more of a sign that you need? We literally invented an entire genre of music based on sadness. That's how sad the blues was created here. That is an American art form. That is not native African. You go listen to old African music. The shit is happy because we was free. But every old African song, we're the freedom in Africa. As soon as we got off the slave ship. We've been sad. How the hell are you surprised? They're not patriotic. The black people don't like the national anthem anymore. Ain't no shock to you, man. You want to know what black folks feeling? Just listen to their music. Our music tell you everything that's going on in the black psyche. It's a beautiful telegram. And nowhere in the history of black music is there a hit patriotic song. That ain't what we do. I mean, we'll cover a song, but like, we don't write no original patriotic song. Black artists ain't never, because we got a conflicted relationship with the country. You can't write no honest patriotic song. You got to leave that to white artists. They ain't had a good time. You had a good time in America. You damn right. You should be writing the patriotic. And I'm proud to be an American. Where at least I maybe serious. You couldn't possibly expect that level of patriotism from a race of people that have so many issues. You can't. It's not realistic. Black people don't sing about America. We sing about specific cities where you can have a good ass time. That's what we do. We don't talk about the country. We can tell you where the party at though. We can do that. Look, I can't tell you nothing about America, but let me tell you about the city where the heat is on all night on the beach to the early morn. Welcome to Miami. That's where you got to go.
If you ever been to California, oh my God, boy, you got to go down to California, boy. Boy, California knows how to party. The city of L.A., the city of good old Watts, and the city of Compton. They keep it rocking. Write that shit down. I'm trying to tell you. You keep it rocking. Black people don't do patriotism. Maybe Georgia On My Mind. That's the closest we probably come. Maybe that. Maybe that. That's a good song. It's warm. It's about the country. Ray Charles, Georgia On My Mind. Good song. But the key word in that song is on my mind. Ray Charles was just thinking about Georgia. He didn't tell you to go there. Georgia's like every other part of the South. It's got some pockets you should not be in after dark. If you'd have asked Ray Charles to be more specific on where in Georgia to go, he'd have said, go to Atlanta where the players play and they ride on them things like every day. My Uncle Derek tried to shut me down on that one. What about James Brown living in America? That's patriotic. James Brown singing about America is original and he black. Living in America. It's a good song, but keep it real, man. James Brown wrote that song for Rocky IV, and as soon as he finished singing it, Apollo Creed died in the ring. It's a sad song. It's a sad song. How can you hear Living in America not think about Apollo Creed just falling lifeless to the... Michael B. Jordan lost his daddy that day. If anything, living in America is not patriotic. It's the opposite. It's a secret message to black people. James Brown is one of the most masterful musicians to ever walk this earth, dude. It's a brilliant song. That song ain't got nothing to do with America. That entire song, Living in America, is a secret message to black folks. All you gotta do, listen to the end of the song. Very end of Living in America, all James Brown do is just start naming cities. That's it. End of the song. Living in America, New Orleans, Detroit City, Dallas, Pittsburgh, Kansas City, Atlanta. He just naming safe places for black folks. That's it.
I feel comfortable with you guys. I want to let you know I'm a biracial. I'm a biracial person, which is funny to me every time I say that out loud because I feel pretty black. I feel very black every day when I wake up. And go outside. But growing up, I didn't know I was biracial. Had no idea I was biracial until I was in junior high. Girl ran up to me at school very out of breath, like, Chanel, I saw you last night at Target with this old white lady. And she was buying you a bra. What is going on? And my first instinct, I was like, whoa, Chelsea. That don't even sound like me, okay? You need to watch your mouth. This is how rumors get started. Then I thought about it. I was like, I was at Target last night. But I was there with my grandmother, and she's not a white. So then I went home, and I walked up to my grandmother that day, bold as brass. I pointed in her face, and I said, hey! Are you white? Because a girl at school looked at you, she saw a white lady. Now I'm looking at you, I'm starting to see a white lady too. She said, of course I'm white. What'd you think I was? I said, I never thought about it before. I knew that I was black because of BET. So I just assumed by association, my grandmother was probably black too. Like, I knew she wasn't very dark skinned. She didn't have as much fun as us on beach days, but we all got our shit. Who was I to judge? She said, no, I'm 100% Italian, which means you are part Italian. She told me that her parents moved to Philadelphia, my hometown, from Italy. She pulled out a picture frame, showed me two very nice looking white people. I said, holy shit. My whole life, I thought that was a brand new frame. And you had just been waiting to fill it. Everything is a lie. Like, yeah, I thought my grandmother was a little lazy. I didn't know she was white. I didn't know that. And sometimes when I tell that joke, people don't believe me. They're like, how could you been 13 years old? You know your grandmother was white. Well, she had 3 oil paintings in her house. One was Malcolm X. One was Martin Luther King Jr. And one was a black Jesus on the cross. Do you know how many pictures of black Jesus there are? I don't even know how she found a dread-headed Caribbean Jesus. But that shit affected me.
I want to start off by letting you know that I am gay as hell. I'm great at it. I do a great job. I was sitting there being black. And I was like, you know what? Give me another thing. I got it. Come on over. I'm also African, thoroughbred from the source. Thank you so much. Thank you. I came to America when I was a little diva. It's also the first time I ever saw a white person. And my immediate thought was, it's a black ghost. This country's filled with apparitions. Oh, man. I have been gay for quite some time. I came out when I was 18, back in the year 2000, you know, before it was cool. I told my parents I was gay. They're both very traditional African immigrants, so I don't recommend doing that. Write them a letter. They can't read. But I told them I was gay, and my dad got very upset. I don't know if it was because I said I was gay or that I sang the entirety of Papa Don't Preach immediately afterwards. It's a much longer song than you think it is.
Yeah, I think it's hard for black men especially to talk about depression because we have so many cool words available to us to undermine how we really feel, you know? Like a couple years ago, I was having some suicidal thoughts and depression, so I checked myself into a psych unit, and I know you guys are looking at me like Jordan, but you're so handsome and well put together, but you know what they say, black don't crack, only psychologically. I got out of the psych unit, and a friend of mine was like, are you okay, man? Is everything all right? But I had so many cool words available to me. I was like, yeah, I was just tripping. But I wasn't just tripping. I had a severe mental breakdown. If anything, I might have been bugging, but I wasn't tripping.
Wouldn't that be great if aliens came to this planet and they were black? And they got here, and they were like, yo, we're so happy we found this planet because we left all these black people here, came to get them. Bring them back home to their home planet. Planet Black Black. But you pronounce it Black Black. All the black people over here be like, yeah, we want to go back home to the planet Black Black. Go to Africa and talk to the Africans, and the Africans are like, we are going to come as well. No more black people on the planet. Fat white girls be crying.
Oh, my God. Oh, no. Get off of me. Deontay.
Save big this festive season at WB. Get 4kg Kadila mixed chicken for $184.99.
This is a special edition of DW News Africa. We're in Johannesburg, host city.
Today in sports, the New York Knicks beat the Boston Celtics 15-13 in an overtime nail biter. And in tragic sporting news, there will be no NFL.
gonna do tonight is I'm gonna try out some jokes. You know, do some jokes. Hopefully they work, and if they don't, then I'll never see y'all again, so it don't matter. Also, I only wrote black material. White people, I didn't know y'all was coming. So, just sit there and take that shit. So I was eating dinner with these white devils last week. All right, I won't do those jokes. Learn how to live in the now. A lot of motherfuckers don't know how to live in the now. What we got going on right now, this is called the now. A lot of people don't know how to live in this because they living their lives off some shit that happened in the past, or they so busy concerned about the future, no one lives in the now. This space is very vacant. That's why a lot of relationships don't work. You just gotta learn how to live in the now and shit. You know, a lot of people know how to do that. I met with these big agents one time and I was sold to shoulder them when we was about to celebrate. It was these three Jewish guys and we like, yo, let's kick it. Let's go hang out. I'm like, fucking, let's go kick it. And I was like, I got my car and I pulled up. I'm like, come on, get in the car. Let's go. And I had a Mercedes at the time and they looked at my car and they was like, nah, we're not getting in there. And at the time, I didn't know what was going on. So I talked to another friend of mine and he was like, well, they probably didn't want to get in your car because it was a German made car. I did not know that that was a thing. I was like, wow, I hate that I disrespected them, but I didn't know. Then I started thinking, well, shit, that shit happened a while ago. Like, I ain't telling them to forget they past or nothing, but motherfucker, shit, we missing out on millions of fucking dollars right now.
Who referred to me as boy, that's what I was expecting. So I was very surprised by the hotel. I thought, oh, this is lovely. This is very civilized. This is wonderful. I basically treated Alabama the way white people treat Africa the first time they go. You know what I'm talking about, white people. You turn up in Africa for the first time, you're like, wow. They have cars and shoes and shit. That's how I was in Alabama. I was like, wow, they have electricity and teeth. This a lot of black people in Alabama. That shocked me. I was really surprised by that. I was like, wow, a lot of black people. I got off the plane and I saw the black people and I ran up to them. I was like that. You know you can leave, right? You don't even have to go underground. You can just drive.
I never had the opportunity to visit a third world country before, but I have been to a Ross Dress for Less. Those bad boys are war torn, y'all. I don't know if I'm supposed to be shopping or giving a donation. I get confused when I go in. I'm like, should I have brought a bag of apples and a box of tissues for the hungry, running nose children in here? I came in desiring a cheese grater, and I'm walking out with a heavy heart. This is terrible. My God. Yo, this dude tried to holler at me at Ross, y'all. I was like, oh, no, 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 sir. I was like, we're supposed to be incognito in here. I don't see you. You don't see me. Buy your socks and bounce. We can't do this here. Your love story can't start at Ross. That don't sound right.
People still having babies and shit. Are you crazy? Are you crazy? That's so crazy to me. Having a baby right now. That's a liability. A baby? What? shit pop off? You gotta run with a baby? Are you thinking? Do you watch the news? Look outside, you know? I get like the Facebook notifications with the sonogram. I'm like, look at this fucking idiot. Like, why would you have a baby right? Like, I feel if you got kids, you gotta ask them right now, what skills are you bringing to the table? Do you run fast? Fucking crossbow, herbs and spices. Like, you gotta have something or you're gonna get left behind. I'm just saying. Shit is crazy. Shit is crazy. It's fucking weird times. Why would you have a baby right now? It's crazy. I suppose in the end, we'll all need something to eat, right? Too dark. I will eat your fucking baby in the end times. I will eat your baby in the end times, is all I'm saying. You know how people be like, oh, little toes, I could just eat them. When they say it, it's okay, but when I say it and I mean it from the bottom of my fucking.
Lipura nenge no wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwepo tete opoewe ekukulile oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala kono ngeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu honda doili nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudini dayo loka okwene ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa ninge da fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onore satimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile ko derewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
Alrighty, 7 minutes past the hour of 11. We are comedying it out. We are doing the most this evening. We are unwinding and we are laughing and we are doing what. But ladies and gentlemen, for all the vulgar that was said there, I tried my best to censor it. I'm so sorry. It will not happen again. And shall we?
I never dreamed I would be a widow. It's what they call spiders and old women. And now I am one. And people say weird things to you, like, I'm sorry to hear you lost your husband, which really sounds irresponsible. It's not like I laid him down at Walmart and forgot where I put him.
We have a winsome message for you today from Shonda Pierce, an extremely successful Christian comedian. She earned the nickname the Queen of Clean with 7 comedy albums that were ranked either gold or platinum, plus several books for adults and children. But as is often the case, Shonda's comedy comes from a source of pain, and she found that humor was how God equipped her to cope with these situations. Today, she's sharing her testimony and her search for an identity beyond the titles of widow or wife or even mother. Here's Shonda Pierce speaking to our staff here at Focus on the Family.
I grew up a preacher's kid. For any of you that don't know what I do, I didn't set out to be a comedian. I was trying to tell my testimony and people kept laughing in my face. So it really kind of hurts my feelings. So after I got through therapy, I decided I could make a living doing this. I grew up in a holiness church, which would explain these leather pants. We all have a little rebellion in us. We have to keep continually giving to the Lord. But I'm grateful for my holiness roots. I really did grow up where the hair was tall, the skirts were long. My grandmother never wore lipstick, makeup, never adorned herself in any way. She was a godly, she's ugly, but she is a holy woman. And I can say it because she's my grandma. She died when she was 98, had never wore a pair of slacks in her life. Isn't that precious? So just before they shut the lid, me and some cousins put some jeans on her. We thought that'd be so funny. Just like when she got to heaven, I wanted to be there so bad so she could say, Lord, these are not mine, Lord. I did not put these on me, and I can tell you who did. I would stand in front of the bathroom when I first started my job. This is the truth. I would say, can I wear lipstick? Maybe I better not wear lipstick. Should I put hair up? Can I leave my hair down? Can I wear my earrings? Maybe I should wear slacks. The platform's awful tall. Oh, no, I better wear my church dress. My husband got so frustrated one time, he took out an eyebrow pencil and wrote across the mirror, G-R-A-C-E, Grace. I said, who in the world is she and what does she have to do with this? just interesting culture, interesting time in my life. And as I look back, and the very thing that became great fodder and great material was also the very thing that probably has also been a thing that established boundaries in my life and established good ideas in my life. Now, not all those things were scriptural. My mama argued and argued and argued. If the Lord had meant for you to have holes in your ears, he would have put them there. Hezekiah 22:4. Which, you know, I looked it up, but I couldn't find it. She said, just trust your mother. I wanted to get my ears pierced. You'd think that was going to be the end of the time. She just cried. She just boo-hooed. You cannot get your ears pierced. It's just terrible. So I was 18, and I'm not proud of this. It's just part of my testimony. Snuck out of the college dorm, went down to a jewelry store and told those people, pierce my ears. I'm 18 now. I can do what I want to. And they put that little thing up there, pierced my ears, and I stepped out of the jewelry store, and two nuns, completely dressed in habit, walked by, and I knew it was a sign from God, and I took them out. It scared me to death. Now I just wear those little slip on, slip off, because when that trumpet blows, you can slip these off and be ready. There's some girls out there going to have a problem. You better hope it's a long song. It'll be just... just an incredible time I've had. This is my 25th year in stand-up comedy, and I never thought I would make it this far. Thank you very much. I thought I'd be kicked out of so many churches by now. So grace and mercy abounds out there, I'm just telling you. It's very, very good. Had probably the most difficult childhood along with the most sanctified childhood, if that makes sense. I had a big brother. He was the oldest, the hopes and dreams of all the generations to come. Firstborn children, you know who you are. You get on the nerves of everybody in your family. And then I had a big sister, the firstborn daughter. She's just beautiful. Her hair bows matched her socks. You know, she kept her clothes in hues of color in her closet. She was the most organized girl I've ever known in my life. She was beautiful. Mother had a way with, my brother's name was Mike, and then mother got creative with our names. Charlotta was my big sister. Her name came from my father, Charles, my grandmother, Lottie, and mom put the names together and made Charlotta. I thought that was so beautiful, and Charlotta was just so all that in a bag of chips, so together. But my little sister Sherilyn was a sweetheart. She was really, really sweet. My mother had two girlfriends, Cheryl and Lynn, and put their names together and made Sherilyn. So that was really, really cute. And of course, then I was the middle girl, Shonda, because my mom drove a Chevy, but my dad liked Hondas. And so and I wish that was a joke. And all the while we had so much fun and laughed and goofed off, it was so important to my mother. We had to dress alike. Now, I don't think every preacher's kid back in the 70s had to do that. I think my mother just really set out to add as much dysfunction to our lives as possible. We had to dress alike. We had drawstring skirts because elastic was too worldly. I think McCall's 22:43 was our pattern. We had little bow tie blouses, and we had little patent leather shoes with the lacy socks. You know what I'm talking about? We looked really cute. It was hard on my brother, but he, and then one day crisis came. It's an interesting thing in my childhood. It was great and fun and righteous and joyful and merciful, and it was as dysfunctional and painful as could be. I was the age 14 years of age the first time I heard the word manic depressive. And we went as a family to find out how we could keep Dad's mood in a more even keel and what was going on with him when he would swing so high and manic and then add an addition to our house or go buy another car we really couldn't afford, or he would get so engaged in visiting and you know, hanging out with people in the church, he would just try to burn off that adrenaline, that manic state of him. And when none of that would work, he began to turn on inappropriate relationship. And I don't remember a time in my childhood when my dad pastored a church where there was not something inappropriate and secret that we had to keep quiet. And he would preach on Sunday. And it's one of the driving forces that every time I get a chance, I do look at men in my audience, which is very few. And I tell them constantly, the best thing in the world you can do for your family is the man that you are on Sunday. It must be the man that you are on Monday. Because when it's not that way, it sends such a mixed signal to your children about who in the world is the Father God and how is He involved in my life. I can remember so often that finally a doctor put my dad on lithium, a little blue pill that I think would have helped. And back in 1969, that was about all that they could come up with. And a group of people circulated a little petition through the church that if the pastor took medicine for his mind, they would have no confidence in his preaching. And in his unmedicated, uncounseled mind, it got worse and worse, and that little pill would have changed my life. But instead, I saw how taken upon themselves and sometimes in our self-righteousness, we begin to tell others how God is supposed to heal them. When everything I've learned and read is God's ways are not our ways. A little lady came up to me one time and said, I don't think you should talk about taking antidepressants. That makes your faith look weak. I said, you need to take your glasses off and drive home.
You see?
Yeah, it went over about like that, too. Some things we're still not sure about. My big sister got in a car to head off to work early one morning in 1976, and she was hit head on and killed instantly at the age of 20. And when that kind of trauma comes into a home that is already unstable, it just wreaks havoc. The devil loves bad times, doesn't he? And he loves to compound them all with shame and regret and frustration. And so we buried Charlotta in a beautiful little cemetery in Tennessee. And it was about 19, 18 months later, my little sister came home from high school, and we were very close. My brother had moved away. He was much older than the rest of us, so we were very connected and very close, kind of surviving this trauma together. My father had left town, and Sherilyn got a sore throat. We thought it was the flu bug at first, and they ran some tests and found out she had leukemia. And 21 days later, she died. I remember standing at the gaping hole as they lowered her body in the ground and noticing that my other sister's grave was still dirt. The grass had not had yet a chance to grow. And I yelled across that gaping hole to my mother and about five little church friends and my father way off in the distance with someone. And I hollered at that gaping hole and said, well, we're dropping like flies. And everybody kind of chuckled, and then, about like a few of you did. It was just a very inappropriate thing to say, but it was a great relief for me. And I learned then that sometimes you could shout out your humor, or you could make a joke or a sarcastic remark to deflect what was really going on inside. And I praise God that at some point in my life, God flipped the switch for me and taught me what a gift that hearing the voice, the sound of laughter, the medicine that it can really be. And it wasn't long until I found myself in counseling and trying to find relationship with God, not based on my mama's religion, not based on my grandma's religion, but based on the Word of God and what it says to me and how God feels about me. I think those are the miracle moments of my life. Married my high school sweetheart, best looking man in my high school, stud, sat right behind me in speech and drama class, stud muffin. A little more muffin than stud there at the end, but we came from very interesting and probably similar dysfunction, but we loved each other very much. And it was difficult at first because my mother didn't really kind of prepare me about, you know, life, married life. I didn't see what, you know, a good family structure looked like. So we had to make some of it up ourselves. And then some of things, she didn't even give me the talk. You know what I'm talking about? I was 23 years of age when my mother came in my bedroom the night before I got married and said, tomorrow's your big day. Guess it's time we had that little talk. 23, a senior in college, and she's going to give me the talk. And she would always whisper it, I guess we need to talk about sex. First 3 years of my marriage, I thought this had something to do with it. I'm just saying, go home tonight when your husband walks by, go, honey. Somehow they know. I was raised with such a fear of God and a terrifying that he's waiting to pound me at any minute. If I just step out of line, if my hem is the wrong length, he's just waiting to get me. I was raised. My grandmother, you want the Lord to come back and catch you kissing that boy? You want the Lord to come back and catch you in the backseat of that car? You want the Lord to come back and catch you in that movie house? Do you know how hard that is on your honeymoon when you've been raised like that? I had to put a do not disturb sign and a note to Jesus on the door. Dear Lord, if you come back today, please circle the block. I've waited a long time for this. All that to say, we had an incredible time. We went to Florida for our honeymoon to get some sun. We got a daughter instead. A few things my mama left out of her brochure. Just the love of my life. So much fun. Just a great guy. He was a writer. He used to write murder mysteries for Ellery Queen Mystery Magazine and Alfred Hitchcock Mystery Magazine. About every other story he would write was about killing his wife and burying her in the backyard. So I stayed on the road as much as possible. He's crazy. So sweet. And out of the clear blue, it's a long winding story of how we got there, but we had a tragic thing happen in our home where you do what you think you can do as a parent. You do all the very best things you think you're doing right. And we had a child that up and decided they had wanted very little to do with us. And it just rocked our world. We wanted to be grandparents and she had the key to those kids' hearts and we were not allowed in. And it devastated our little home. And me, I will say, I got busy working. I fell into the same traps that my mother did. Maybe if I just teach another Bible study, maybe if I just take on a couple of more concerts, maybe God will listen to me then. Maybe he will hear the desire of my heart as I cry out in pain as a mom. And I think I became my mother. I know I have her hands and her hips. I'm learning that every now and then a thought process rolls through my head and comes out of my mouth and it sounds like her. And now I'm deeply depressed. But all that to say, my husband spiraled into alcohol. Now, I knew nothing about alcohol growing up in a very holiness, you know, church. We use Welch's grapefruit for, you know, grape juice for communion. I mean, we would, if it even sounded like, smelled like it was getting a ferment or something, we toss that out because you'll go to hell drinking that real stuff. I mean, I've been in a few churches that serve the real stuff. I get in line a few times just to test it to see if it is. And my husband spiraled. His health declined for about 5 years. I watched him struggle through that. I got off the road. I tried to do what good wives do. I tried the tough love and all of those things. But try as I might, he died. You know, you do romantic odd things in the middle of your grief and that first initial trauma. And we were in the middle of building a house on the farm. We had decided to move from our home, which was an hour away. We were going to move closer to the farm so we could take care of things more as we got older. And we were in the middle of building a house. And when he passed, I just knew that would be the most perfect place to put him. So I had him come and dig up the footers, take away the lumber. I told the contractor, thank you, but no thanks. And we buried him there on the farm. I knew not to put him in a cemetery by my mother. I'm just saying, resurrection morning, if he came out of the ground and that's the first person he saw, I was worried he might not want to go. It's been 3 years and then the unthinkable happened. Those well-meaning girlfriends, the one that tries to tell you when it's time for you to move on, how do you regulate that for someone else? They came to my house and they left me a note on my laptop sitting on the counter and it just said it had a password and a username and my credit card. So they stole my identity to do this. And they just said, we did this because we love you. And you open it up and it was four dating sites that they had signed me up for. Now, isn't that wonderful? Match.com, Christian Mingle, which I think there's a little mingling on there that's not too Christian, if you ask me. There's another one called Plenty of Fish or something, and it's free, and now I know why. It's pretty loose and free. And then the other one was Our Time. You have to be over 50 to be on Our Time, which really means you have very little time left at all. And by the pictures on there, you better hurry up. someone, this is either going to be the best material of my career or the most depressing thing I've had to do in my life. They wrote me up an online dating profile. Now, here's the truth. If you run across it, let me just tell you the truth right now. I have never done yoga in my life. My downward dog is squatting in the woods somewhere. I do not do yoga. You know, they try to make me sound all youthful and fun and energetic. I don't exercise 5 times a day. I walk to the fridge. You know, and so they wrote this whole profile. The men's pictures on there. Here's what's problem with the world today. The men my age are looking for women but about 30 years younger because they are pretty sure that's what they deserve. They're going to need that to push their wheelchair up the hill. And so you get these pictures. One man's picture still had an oxygen tube under his nose. I'm like, you couldn't move your oxygen tube long enough to take the picture. And evidently none of these men on live have friends because no one has taken, they're trying to take their own picture and they don't know how to take a selfie. They stand in the bathroom and take a picture of themselves. I'm sorry, what is the creative process of that? You're in the bathroom one day and you go, well, you know, the lighting's good in here. I think I'll take a picture of myself. It's disgusting. And so I said, well, let me just do this myself. Let me write my own profile. Let me write who I am. And it has a paragraph on there, on eHarmony, on all of them. Write a paragraph about who you are. And then it dawned on me. I have no idea. First of all, I was a wife for 31 years. I was David's girlfriend all through high school and college. I was a mom and very much still a mom to my son, who's really great, but he's 27. He needs to move. I was a daughter of a pastor. I'm a stand-up comedian. Got platinum records and gold records hanging on the wall, but who am I really? And so you peel away all the pain, you peel away the grief, you peel away the dysfunction. Who am I and what would I put on this paragraph? And then the sweet saints of the church come back in my ears and begin to whisper the Sunday school lessons and the beautiful songs and the scriptures that I've heard all my life that are brought to mind when I need them most. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. The God of the universe counted the hairs on my head. He kissed me on the cheek one morning and rocked me and cuddled me and loved me and told me I'm great. And then he placed me in my mother's womb. And that same Father God started life with me and he will end life with me. He is my comforter and my God. And I have found out that with him and because of him, I am enough. More than enough.
Yes, you are. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. How are you guys doing? We're having a chilled Friday.
Your children are not your source of life. Don't find your strength from them. You're like, oh no, my kids fill me up. Yeah, give it a while. You will find out nothing sucks the life out of you faster. Than a child.
Welcome to the Focus on the Family broadcast, helping families thrive.
Well, we all love our kids, but if we expect them to be our source of joy and our reason for living, we're bound to be disappointed. And only God can truly fill our hearts that way. And that's the message Ted Cunningham wants to share with you today, especially if you're getting stressed out about all the details involved in parenting a child. Ted's going to encourage you to de-stress with laughter. And I know you're going to get a kick out of this presentation. It's based on his book, A Love That Laughs, published by Focus on the Family. As you're about to see, Ted is a very entertaining speaker, and he's also the founding pastor of Woodland Hills Family Church in Branson, Missouri. Here's Ted Cunningham speaking at a Sparkle Women's Conference at River Valley Church in Minneapolis.
It is great to be here. There have been a lot of moments where we've been told to turn to our neighbor and say, and I really haven't been comfortable with any of them. I gotta be honest with you. Turn to your neighbor and say, you know what she's feeling. I don't really know what's going on. Love y'all. It's so good to be. I'm like, what am I doing at a women's conference? And then it hit me. This theme is I'm going to focus on the last part. And she laughs without fear of the future. And we just heard that the sixth love language is working out. Wrong. No, I'm just, that's what I get it. It's my wife's love language is working out long walks. She walks me and the dog every night right before sunset. She wants me to live till 90. And I believe the sixth love language could also be laughter, the way we give and receive love. I just finished a book on laughter called A Love That Laughs, and we studied laughter for the last year. And I've been watching it in my wife. And my wife has a silent patriotic laugh is what I call her laugh. When she finds something funny, she places her hand over her heart, leans forward, and nothing comes out. So, ladies, I'm glad you're laughing. Sometimes I go to churches that aren't used to laughter. That's why I love coming to River Valley. Y'all love to laugh. But I go to some churches, they don't laugh at all. And I'm like, ladies, let the laughter out. You hold it in, it turns to cellulite. I need you to let that laughter out. Don't hold it in. I believe the reason I am here today, I want to tell you who your source is and where you find your strength. But I also want to encourage you to lighten up. Lighten up. Stop taking yourself so seriously. Take God seriously, but lighten up. And your children are your source. And mom, if I can just tell you, I have to talk to the moms for just a second because everything I do is marriage and parenting, and I can't get away from it. So as you start at the first part of Proverbs 31:25, which is where when I got this verse and I got this theme, my heart leapt. I was so excited. I started to pencil some things down and just I've been meditating on it for the past few months and asking the question, where does a woman find her strength, her hope, her confidence? Psalm 118 and verse 14 says, my power and strength come from the Lord, and he has saved me. Psalm 28:7 says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy, and with my song, I praise him. I wanted to tell you, he is your source of life today. He's your source of life. And be careful what you do with people, places, or things. Be very careful not to turn people, places, or things into your source of life. We say it around our home often. My source of life is Jesus, not you. I receive from him and pour out to you. What you receive from me should be the overflow of my relationship with the Lord. Your strength, your hope, your confidence, it's not an outward appearance. 1 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold, jewelry, or fine clothes. Is this prohibitive of that? No. It's saying, don't let that be your source, but it can be overflow. Don't let it be your source. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Wear nice clothes. Wear makeup. That's not at all what this is teaching. It's saying it just shouldn't be your source of life. It's not money. 1 Timothy 6:17, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. We lose strength and lack confidence when we turn the blessings of God into our source of life. And we start worshiping the blessings rather than the one who blessed us. Where is your source today? I want to talk to you in the time that we have remaining just about laughter as a barometer of strength. Laughter as a barometer of strength, not perfection, but strength. Two other areas that you should never find yourself looking to as your source. Your source is not in your children. They're not your source of life. And some of you right now, your children have become an extension and you find your value in them. Vanity parenting uses the child's attributes and accomplishments to try to impress other people. Let your strength, let your confidence, let your hope, let your beauty come from that inner beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. Mom, you're stressing out over the non-essentials in parenting. And you need to know what the essentials are. And the essentials are, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and strength. And impress these commandments are to be upon your heart. Impress them upon your children. Bring your children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That's the essentials that we're going after. But I see parents today stressing over the non-essentials. Why? Mom, stressing over the non-essentials because the children have become the source. Your family's not perfect. And you're gonna do okay. I'm gonna show you a few things. Just give you an example of what I see parents stressing out over today. How about this one right here? Formula. Passionate people. You gotta nurse as long as you can. Nursing didn't work for us with Corinne. She's like, thanks for sharing that with all the women of Minnesota, Dad. But it didn't. I'll never forget it. 6 weeks, her 6 week appointment, we went into the doctor and I'm sitting by Amy and he comes in, he's going over all of her charts. Starts looking at her head. Head's good. Length good. Gets to the weight chart. His back is turned to us. He's one of these doctors that doesn't have great bedside manner. And I'll never forget him saying these words. Good night. What are you doing? Starving this baby? I look over at Amy. The tears start flowing. This is why it's so important. If you're not in a life group, a home group, a small group, if you don't have community, get in community, because that night we had home group. That night we had home group, and we're new parents trying to figure it out, and we ain't doing that well, and we're an emotional wreck. We're not sleeping well. Corinne's never slept a night, you know, in those first 6 weeks, and we're exhausted. We start telling all our struggles, and one older lady in our group gets up, and she walks over to the kitchen, and I follow her. I said, excuse me. I said, what are you doing? She reaches up in the cabinet. She grabs that formula they give you free at the hospital. She puts it down and she starts making a bottle. And I go, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Hey, what are you doing? Because I've read all the books, right? I know what the books say. And there's somebody in here right now real passionate about it. Ooh, I hope he's not giving a message that formula's okay. That's the whole point I'm trying to make. And I got really all up in arms with this lady. I go, you can't give her formula. She goes, you give me one good reason why I can't give Corinne formula right now. I said, well, first of all, I don't want her going to community college. That's where I'll start with the whole thing. That usually gets about 75% laugh, and I'll explain to you why. 25% are super right now. You're stressed. I think your kids are gonna be fine. Lighten up, Mom. Focus on the essentials. Let go of the non-essentials a little bit. Your children are not your source of life. Don't find your strength from them. You're like, oh no, my kids fill me up. Yeah, give it a while. You will find out nothing sucks the life out of you faster. than a child. How about this one? Oh, let's keep going there since we're having so much fun. Oh, binky? No, you did not give your daughter a binky. We did. Till she was 2 and a half. Sure, she can't pronounce her S's. But she has nailed the other 25 letters. I need you to know that. She's got them down. Let's keep going. How about this? The family bed. I hear people get online debating everything. Oh, you shouldn't do that. You should. I'm for eradicating the kid-centered home. But I want to explain something right now to every mom in here. And this is serious. This is not a punchline right here. You are under no obligation to explain or defend your parenting choices. None. I'm over there. I hate all my Facebook friends. I hate them all. They're all of their father, the devil, and children of darkness. I can't stand them. If you have the family bed and somebody go, oh, it's gonna, now look at all those kids, the dog, the cat. I have no idea how they had so many kids, but if that's your choice, no one's here to to tell you otherwise. Oh, then this one stresses parents out. The school picture. Right? What school? Public, private, home, Christian? You're under no obligation to explain or defend your choices. The bus. I'm seeing parents today stress over the bus. Do we send our kids on the bus? I grew up on the bus. How many of you grew up on a bus? I want those of you stressing about this decision right now, I want you to look around. I do, because I'm going to ask this question. You're going to be shocked at how many hands go up. How many of you remember back in the day, bus drivers kicking unruly kids off the bus in the middle of the route? Oh, I'm in Minnesota now. It's 10 below zero. Get off the bus. We did, though. If you met, listen, the bus driver would drop you off a mile and a half from home. I grew up in the cornfields of Illinois. I remember getting dropped off. And you'd see our line going through the cornfields to get home. So long as you stayed out in front of the combine, you were fine. But we all survived. How many of you remember when your mom couldn't figure out which of your siblings was at fault, so she just spanked all of you? How many of you remember that? Yeah. Those were good days. How many of you remember when your mom sent you upstairs to wait for your spanking? That was worse than the spanking. How many of you remember when mom sent you upstairs to wait for your spanking, then forgot she sent you upstairs to wait for your spanking? You and your brother are like, do we tell her? Do we need to remind her what we're doing up here? I had a brother 4 years older than me, totally stubborn. He'd sit on his side of the bed. Oh, dad ain't going to break me. Mom ain't going to break me. I'm like, are you kidding? I'm screaming on the backswing. I don't want it! Your kids are going to be fine. Let's see how quick we can do this, but we've already enjoyed laughter. Again, understanding that laughter is a barometer of strength. Have you ever gotten to the end of the day and you're like, I haven't laughed once today? Is it a sign I need to find a way to laugh, or do I need to take a deeper look? What's going on that I'm so stressed, that I'm so focused on all of these, what I'm going to say, non-essentials, that I need to get back to it? And so I want to just share that. I know this seems like a lot, but I think we got time to plow through it. I have a chapter in the book called 38 Benefits of Laughter, and I want to give you 42 of them. Before we go to lunch. No, I ain't keeping you from lunch. But I'd like to give you 15 of them, because Proverbs 17:22 says, a cheerful heart is good medicine. And we've been taking that medicine since this day began. I've been laughing since I walked through the doors at 8. I got to tell you something. Laughter is a great way to know, where am I right now? With strength, with confidence, with hope. It's a great barometer. Number one, laughter is therapy. Therapy. We've been taking some of this today. Pastor Chuck Swindoll says, laugh out loud. It helps flush out the nervous system. Laughter is the most beautiful and beneficial therapy God ever granted humanity. Laugh. Number two, humor helps us learn and hope opens us up for the truth. I always love telling people, yes, laughter is a medicine, but it also helps other medicines go down. And sometimes I get criticized, you use too much laughter, too much humor when you preach. I said, yeah, but if you just would pay attention while you're laughing, I'm cramming truth down your throat. And I do it Sunday after Sunday. Three, humor helps us cope. A person without a sense of humor is like a wagon without springs. It is jolted by every pebble in the road. Good humor makes all things tolerable. Henry Ward Beecher. I love the fourth one. Laughter is free. No memberships, no subscriptions. Number five, when we laugh, we breathe in oxygen-rich air. Dr. Sophie Scott, neuroscientist, I've been studying her for the last couple.
Ritava zende kize imba izwezi pili. Luekerize mikwa ye nguyencha kukona kunolofaza kwa nkufisa hamo chualo ni mata amskavo na kare. Kana mitukiserize kuvona msevelezo wa imba ye, mufumane lisevelezo zezwezi pili ze kakulifafela mashering alika na $36 million kakweli. Kapa kamikwa ye kutesifa fasi ye tatama, 5% machipisa hamungotisari kwerize talu, 10% machipisa hamungotisari kwerize sirela, 25% machipisa hamungotisari kwerize lishumi peri. Muketeri kwerizo kuba muvata kuri mukone kukala kuikola zendezewo imba imiswalezi famachipisa imba pokubukanira fasi kaufera mwipe kwali sebelezo za imba kachenu kuri mukone kuikola zende kaufera
Save big this festive season at WB. Get 4kg Kadila mixed chicken for $184.99.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
A couple of years, her, I've been studying her research. That sounded really weird the way that came out. Laughter is a deep breath, figuratively and literally. When you laugh, your rib cage expands and contracts more rapidly than it does when you breathe or talk. And that leads to the sixth one, laughing burns calories. According to Vanderbilt University, you can shed 40 calories with 10 to 15 minutes of laughter. So laugh and put away the jogging suit. That's what I say, put away the jogging suit. Number seven, laughter reduces tension throughout your entire body. Laughter reduces tension throughout your entire body. I do date night comedy events around the country, and my favorite comment to hear when people walk out is my face hurts or my side hurts. I can't remember the last time we laughed 3 to 5 laughs per minute, and you really are exhausted at the end of the time. If you ever watch comedy specials, that's why they only go 1 hour and 5 or 1 hour and 10 minutes. You'll rarely see a comedy show go to 1 hour and 15 or 1 hour and 20 because you just don't have any more laughs in you. You're exhausted. That's a good thing, to exhaust yourself with laughter. Here's my favorite one. Number 8, your body can't tell the difference between fake and real laughter. Your mind can, but your body can't. So if you're not feeling it, fake it. So that's an important lesson for wives, okay? I don't know where your mind just went with that, but I'm talking about laughter. The next time your husband tells a joke that ain't funny, fake it. Go home from this. He says something funny or does something funny. Your body is reaping the benefits of that laughter. Let it go. 9, humor grows 2 people closer together. I heard somebody tell me, I think it was last year, I think live events are on their way out. And I went, what? I said, I don't think, because you know what you've been doing? You've been laughing together. You can't, when you're in a, you can laugh at something when it's just you, but it's not nearly as much fun as this and as contagious as this. Like, watch this. I'm going to show you something. Tickle yourself right now. See if you can make yourself laugh. Yeah, you can't do it. You cannot tickle yourself to make yourself laugh. Now turn to your neighbor. No! Turn to your neighbor. I didn't know. Hey, ick. Do not turn to your neighbor. I don't even know this woman, but she's with another church. Laughing says, I'm with you. It says, I'm on the same page. I get it. 10, laughter diffuses social tension and awkwardness. Humor is a great tool to break the ice with strangers and new friends. It's an indicator. It immediately helps us identify other people that get us. This is a big one. 11, big. Laughter makes you more attractive. That online dating sites are trying to figure out how to get this into the algorithm besides just the question, do you have a sense of humor? Do you want somebody with a sense of humor? And again, tell the guys in our church, you don't need the looks of Brad Pitt, you don't need the body of The Rock, and you don't need the confidence of Tony Stark. Okay? You need a paycheck and a couple of jokes. A paycheck and laughter is great for relationship and chemistry. 12, laughter humanizes me. Laughter is a shake of the head acknowledging, I can't believe I just said that. I can't believe I just did that. Ethel Barrymore said, you grow up the day you have your first real laugh at yourself. Pastor Mark Batterson says that the happiest and healthiest people in the world are the people who laugh at themselves the most. You've got to take God seriously, but you can't take yourself seriously. Honestly, I think we are grossly underestimating God's sense of humor. I believe the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. We tend to ignore the second half. Maybe we need to take fun more seriously. Three more. 13, laughter pleases God. Randy Alcorn says, laughter is not only human, it's explicitly biblical and pleasing to God. It's therefore inconceivable to think that Jesus didn't laugh. Laughter ministers to others. The best way to cheer yourself is to try to cheer someone else up, Mark Twain. And it's one of the things I love to do when I go into a hospital. I've visited folks from our church in hospice care. And their spouse says, Ted, we're so glad you're here. You need to make him laugh. Let's just have fun together. And there have been plenty of people in their final days where we just stood around, we sat around, we told stories, and we laughed, enjoying the fellowship of one another. The last one, laughter reminds us of the hope of heaven. I like what Randy Alcorn says. Jesus says, blessed are those who weep now, for you shall laugh. In context, he's talking about people having great reward in heaven. In other words, he's saying, you will laugh in heaven. Surely Jesus will join in the laughter and be a source of much of it. And when Jesus laughs, it's always the laughter of both God and man. One of the criticisms our church receives in Branson, and one of the reasons people will say they stay away from our church, is because there's too many people and too much laughter, to which we say, you're probably not going to like heaven. Heaven's going to be a pretty rough place for you. Martin Luther actually put it this way. If they don't allow laughter in heaven, then I don't want to go there. If the earth is fit for laughter, then surely heaven is filled with it. Heaven is the birthplace of laughter. If I can just encourage you with this last image, it's on my phone. It's my alarm section. 3:40 was to get to Minnesota. But 5:22 in military time, 17:22. Which is a reminder of Proverbs 17:22. Let that alarm go off and just ask yourself the question, did I even laugh today? How much laughter? What was my conflict to laughter ratio? A.W. Tozer said the people of God ought to be the happiest people in all the wide world. The Christian owes it to the world to be supernaturally joyful. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Thank you, Sparkle, for allowing me to share a little bit with you this morning. Love you all very much. Thank you. Thank you.
That was a good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you guys have enjoyed your evening. This lovely, lovely evening. I hope that somewhere, somehow you found a little bit of laughter and a little bit of joy. You know, in these menacing and troubling times, it's important for us to laugh. It is important for us to share experiences. And also, it's important for us to laugh at ourselves. I know it's been a wild evening. I know it's been unorthodox. I know it's been cray cray, but in a good way. I know. But on the flip side, I feel a whole lot better. And also, I hope that this positive energy that I'm sending out to you is well received. I hope that we're finding our balance out here. And we are doing that last stretch. And we are doing it graciously. We are doing it with whatever the year had to dish out on our plates. I know that many of us are tired. Many of us are fatigued. Many of us are just, you know, over the year, we're like, we are still here. 2025, we are still here. I feel like 2025 was like, a compacted 10 years put together. I feel like, yeah, that's 2025. It was 10 years put into 1 year, and it was just a lot. There were so many milestones. There are so many milestones yet to be achieved even. Many of us say that we're clocking out. It's December now, but it's not. There's so many beautiful things that can still happen to you. It's not over until the Fat Lady sings. So whatever New Year resolutions, whatever dreams, whatever things you didn't achieve this year, it's not too late. It's never too late. It's never too late to you for you to go and try and keep pushing and keep doing. So for me, the matriarch, I bid you guys bye-bye, au revoir, ciao, farewell. And until we meet again tomorrow at 1 o'clock, it's going to be an amazing evening. And bye.